Welcome to our teaching today, where Christ's Word is the center of our world. We are about to listen to the undiluted Word of God from the throne of grace with Pastor Philip Branson Bello.
2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 3. So we're going to read it together. That's better. So let's go together. One, two, go. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting, because your faith grows exceedingly and the love of every one of you all abounds toward each other. Praise the Lord. So we said that as you grow in the faith, there are certain things you must see, right? You cannot talk about a faith that grows without evidence or without signs of that faith that grows. Praise the Lord. And we listed out a few things. But before I go on listing out the signs of a growing faith, it is important to know that your faith is always connected to the gospel. First of all, it's the gospel that gives you, is the gospel that births faith in your heart. Without the gospel, there is no faith. Right? If you read Romans chapter 10, it says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And that faith there is the preaching of the gospel. So faith comes. As you hear the gospel, faith comes to you. So let's say that together. Faith comes to me. So faith comes as you hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And therefore, it is expected that that faith grows. Now, a growing faith is the faith that has to be an implication of further understanding of the gospel. Just a little bit more, sound man. Just a little bit more. Yes, thank you. So, an understanding of the gospel is what makes all these signs show. All right? So, I'll show you Ephesians chapter 4 so you see what we're growing into. All right? What we're growing into. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11. You see the ministry gifts there. To some he gave apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and some teachers. Next verse. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. What's the meaning of the word edify? All right. Who can tell me what the meaning of the word edify is? When you hear the word edify, what comes to mind? All right, it means to build. All right, the Greek word for edify is oikodome or oikodom, but I think the E is pronounced oikodome, and it means an architecture. There's a base of architecture there. There is a structure, and figuratively, it also means building. It also means an act or an act of building up something. That's what it means. So it says that this ministry gifts are given for the perfecting of the works of ministry and also for the edifying of the body of Christ. Then verse 13 says, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto what? A perfect man. Are you looking at your Bible? All right, let's read verse 13 again. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. You see, so what are we coming into? Let's look at what we're coming into. What are we coming into? To the unity of the faith, right? So what is the meaning of the unity of the faith? What does that mean? It means that we all come to a certain understanding of who we are in Christ. You understand? So not everybody understands who they are in Christ. And that's why we have the teaching ministry, the prophetic ministry, the apostolic. So that we can teach the body of Christ who you are in Christ or who we are in Christ. Say amen. Amen. So till we all come. You see, because you're a baby Christian, now there's a requirement for you to grow. You can't remain a baby all your life. So, till we all come to the unity of the faith, can we use the Amplified Version? Let's see if it amplifies the thought. Let's see what the Amplified Version says, either the Amplified or the NLT or the Passion. Okay, yeah. Says that it might develop until we all attain oneness in the faith and in the comprehension of the full and accurate knowledge of the Son of God. You see that now. So the Bible here says that everybody, the purpose of this ministry gift is that everyone understands these things. Praise God. And thank God we have this teaching in TSB. All right? So that you're not left without the knowledge of who you are in Christ. Amen, somebody. All right? Then the next verse, let's finish this. Full accurate knowledge of the Son of God, that we might arrive at really mature manhood, the completeness of personality, which is nothing less than the standard height of Christ's own perfection. You see that now. The measure of the stature of the fullness of the Christ and the completeness found in him. That's my reality. Amen, somebody. So he says, till you come to the comprehension of these things. If you are not here yet, then you're still in a pews. You're still a baby. All right. It's not everyone who says, I'm born again, that is mature. So maturity is something we need to attain to. Then look at verse 14. Verse 14 says, so then we may no longer be what? Children, tossed like ships to and fro between chance gusts of teaching and wavering with every changing wind of doctrine. That's why doctrine is important for your growth. Can we say that together? Doctrine is important for my growth. So you can't be gullible. You have to know what you need to hear. There's a recommendation of word that is required for you to hear and listen to for your growth. All right? The prey of the cunning and cleverness of unscrupulous men, gamblers engaged in every shifting, what now? Form of trickery in inventing errors to mislead. Then verse 15, this is where I'm going. Let's read it together. One, two, go. Rather, let our lives lovingly express truth in all things, speaking truly, dealing truly, living truly. Enfolded in love, let us grow up in every way and in all things into him who is the head, even Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. Okay, so look at the scripture, Pastor Paul. Come and sit down. Let's look at this scripture. Who are we growing into? Or what are we growing into? Look at it very well, though. Don't answer before you reason. So look at it very well. Who are we growing into? There's a model to which you grow into. Is that correct? All right, so look at it very well. You see, look at from that enfolded. Enfolded in love, let us grow up in every way. Can we stay in this in every way for a bit? In every way means in every way. Okay? In every way means what? In every way. Not in some ways. Not in the ways you choose. Not in the ways you prefer. Even in the ways you're not used to. You have to grow in it. Somebody say amen. Amen. If I tell you anybody, pastor is talking about you. Look at another neighbor and say, I sense in my spirit that is you, pastor is talking about. Now tell that neighbor, say in every way, in every way. Every way. There's no hiding space. Okay? All right. In every way we are supposed to reflect what? Christ. That's how you grow. The way we measure growth in the kingdom is not by how many people can fall under the power when you pray. Are you getting what I'm saying? These are gifts of the Spirit. How many people you can heal? How many prophecies you can give? Those are, do you know a baby Christian can prophesy? But growth is different. The fruit of the Spirit is growth. The gifts of the Spirit is a manifestation. And manifestation can be given to a child, even though he doesn't know what he's doing. If I, as a matter of fact, let me bring it down. Donkeys can manifest. Check the Bible. A donkey prophesied. So don't be carried away by someone who is called a prophet, an apostle, and then you feel for you to grow, it means you have to attain the signs of an apostle. No. It says, by their fruit. How do you know them? You shall know them. So the way you grow in the body of Christ is by exuding these fruits. And how you exude this fruit is absolutely by growing into someone. And who is this person? Christ. So we grow into him in all things. Somebody say amen. Amen. So I just needed to establish this fact that when we talk about signs of a growing faith, it has to be side by side a revelation of the gospel. It is the gospel is the, how do I put this now? The gospel is the precursor to a growing faith. Somebody say amen. Amen. All right, so let's list out the things that we said are signs. If you don't see these things, it means the person is not growing. All right, we said number one. What's number one? You make better choices. As you grow in the faith, your choices will be better. It's a given. And we give a text from 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 11. We said Paul said, when I was a child, I thought like a child. When I was a child, I understood and I spoke like a child. But when I became a mature person, I put away childish things. Amen. Please tell your neighbor, we're going to preach together. So tell your neighbor, let go of childish things this year. Look at another neighbor saying, 2024, release childish things alone. Let them go. Let them go. Live, behave yourself this year. Praise God. I want you to warn your neighbor, don't fight too. No. I didn't say you should tell your neighbor, don't fight. I'm just telling you now not to fight. I didn't say you should quarrel with your neighbor. Amen. Because some people will now tell their neighbor what they've been wanting to say since. Praise the Lord. Let's look at the NLT version. What does the NLT version on this say? NLT version on this. What does it say? When I was a child, I spoke and thought and reasoned as a child. But when I grew up, I put away what? Childish things. Who does the putting away? So you decide this year. Put away childish things. Amen. Number two, we said what? You have a better character. Romans chapter 6 and verse 21 to 23. We use the Living Bible. I know you don't have the Living Bible, but if you have the NLT, it's fine. Romans chapter 6 and verse 21, it says, and what was the result? Evidently not good, since you are ashamed now even to think about those things you used to do. For all of them end in eternal what? Doom. Next verse. But now you are free from the power of sin, and you are slaves of God, and his benefits to you include holiness and everlasting life. Do you understand? Next verse. Come on, amen. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So one of the benefits is holiness and eternal life. You have the ability to live holy. You have the ability to do what is right. You're not a slave to sin anymore. I like the way Romans chapter 6 verse 1. If I go to verse 1, you know, when that question was asked, shall we continue in sin? Let me paint a very good picture, because a lot of people don't understand this thing. When the Bible says God forbid. Well then, shall we keep on sinning so that God can keep on showing us more and more kindness and forgiveness? Then look at the answer. Of course not. Should we keep on sinning when we don't have to? Can we breathe on this phrase for a bit? Should we keep on sinning when we don't have to? So the first thing you have to know is that you don't have to. Do you get what I'm saying? You don't have to. Now, what is the difference between the born-again believer and the unbeliever on this you don't have to? So for the believer, it is you don't have to. For the unbeliever, you can't but. That's it. You must. Because you are a slave to sin. When sin commands, you obey. You see? So there is a principle of the old man that is working in the unbeliever that makes him do what he has to do. And one of the ways you tell who a baby is the baby cannot delay gratification. So if you must do what you have to do when you have to do it, you are still a child though. Mm-hmm. If you can wait, it's a sign that you're growing. If you can be told otherwise, it's a sign that you're growing. So it says that you don't have to. For sin's power over us was broken when we became Christians. Come on, amen. And we're baptized to become a part of Jesus Christ. Through his death, the power of your sinful nature was shattered. Glory to God. Next verse, what does this say now? Your old sin-loving nature was buried with him by baptism. You see what I'm saying now? When he died, and when God the Father with glorious power brought him back to life again, you were given his wonderful new life to enjoy. So you don't have to. Say with me, say, I don't have to. Let me differentiate this for you. There is a difference between desire and have to. You don't have to follow the desire. The desire is there, doesn't mean you have sinned. So don't think you are your desire. You must separate yourself from your desire. Because if you are interpreting what Christ went through, the temptations of Christ didn't look like someone speaking from the outside. It looked like it was his thoughts talking. So whenever you are tempted, don't feel embarrassed. Praise God. Do you know what it means when the Bible says Jesus was tempted in all ways? Maybe when the lady was using her hair to wipe his feet, he was tempted. Who knows? But they didn't write that part. You never know. He was tempted always is always. When he looked at the glory and he saw power, he thought about it. It's easier to just get this than do the cross. That's temptation. So some of you just form like you don't get tempted. Well done. Wow, I didn't know you are that strong. We need to give you a spiritual script medal and honor you for your strength. You know, I put something on social media. I said, take the Joseph's approach instead of the Samson approach. Because the Joseph approach say, I will run. I will leave the suit for you. No, but I'm not that strong. You are strong. I'm not that strong. Take the suit. But the Samson approach says, I'm strong. He stays there. Delilah is lying on his lap. Wakoyo. You are really strong. Say, nothing will happen now. Wow, wow, wow. Look at your neighbor and say, wow, 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 wow. I couldn't know that. I didn't know. I didn't know that you are this strong. That you honor me this way. Well done, though. Listen, you don't have to do what is wrong to hustle. Let me put it right. You don't have, because of hustle, you don't have to. You live that life. There was somebody who came to meet me after service. It was last year. He was visiting. And he told me, say, Pastor, I did do yahoo yahoo. As I come to church, I look you, I like you. I say, make I tell you. Because enough you pretend for church. You can't lie to your lawyer. You can't lie to your doctor. If you are wise, you can't lie to your pastor. So he told me. I now told him back. I say, I like you too. For being honest with me. So let's pray. I told him, after I finished praying, if I didn't talk about the life of Yahoo first, I talked about who he is in Christ. Because when you know who you are, you will leave some things alone. Come on, amen. You will leave some things alone. You will not just bother yourself about certain things. Praise God. And that's what some of you do. Because when you see someone smoking now, your problem is that cigar. So you feel cigar is blocking the person from entering the gates of heaven. Cigar. There's a more important conversation, I hope you know. It's the life of Christ. Faith in Christ. If he has faith in Christ, that is his doorway. A friend of mine is a pastor. He called me and said, Pastor Phil, explain this thing to me. His father has a big church. He's a pastor in a different city. He said, explain this thing to me. This thing called forgiveness of sins. Because I heard something one of your friends said. That if someone is born again and the person sin, the person will still go to heaven. He asked me, he said, Pastor Phil, will you preach like that? I said, yes. I said, it is true. And it's not because I'm preaching. It's because of what the Bible is saying. So I told the person, I said, let me explain to you. I now started explaining eternal life, forgiveness of sins, repentance. You know, there's a difference between repentance and forgiveness. You see, repentance is coming from you. Forgiveness is coming from him. Forgiveness is because of what Christ has done. Repentance is your change of mind. It's different things. So even believers and unbelievers repent. We both do repenting. Even God self repents. The Bible says that God repented when he said, I will not destroy Israel again. He changed his mind. That's repentance. So many of us think that repentance is what gives forgiveness. No. Forgiveness is the work of a man on the cross. And that happened before you even thought you needed forgiveness. Before you were on the scene, he came. Are you getting what I'm saying? He died, he was buried, he rose again. That's what gave us forgiveness. Now the question is, have you received the forgiveness? Receiving the forgiveness is the repentance. And the repentance is ongoing because even after you're born again, you keep repenting to grow. You hear things in your spirit. You know that, okay, I need to change my ways. I'm born again, but I need to change my ways. And not that my sins are not forgiven, but I need to change my ways. So when you say, Lord, I'm sorry for this, it is repentance. That I'm sorry is not saying that's when you are now forgiven. You've been forgiven. You will never stop being forgiven. Boko Haram is forgiven. ISIS is forgiven. Everybody is forgiven. Warmongers are forgiven. You are forgiven. The whole world is forgiven. Thieves are forgiven. Armed robbers are forgiven. Kidnappers are forgiven. I hear say this is not the plenty for Abuja now. We drive them out by the Spirit in the name of Jesus. So forgiving people go to hell. Yeah. Forgiving people go to hell. What makes them go to hell is because they don't receive that forgiveness. So receiving the forgiveness is you putting faith in Christ. Then it goes, it now gets better. It now says, what made you a sinner died when Jesus died. So you don't have to be a slave to the dictates of sin now. You can now, so you don't have to. Are we still on that verse? He was, your old sin loving nature was buried with him by baptism when he died. And when God the Father with glorious power brought him back to life again, you were given his wonderful new life to enjoy. Next verse. Where's the part that says you don't have to? Okay, let's keep going. For you have become a part of him, and so you died with him, so to speak. When he died, and now you share his new life, and shall rise as he did. Okay, next verse. Your evil desires were nailed to the cross with him. That part of you that loves to sin was crushed. And what? Fatally wounded. So that your sin-loving body is no longer under sin's control. Now, there is nothing you can do about the sin-loving body. Because that's the body you are in. So every moment you might feel some desires, some drawing, some inclination. But that sin-loving body is no longer under sin's control that was crucified in Christ. So that is the reason why you don't have to now. So if a believer sins, he sins because it was a choice. Because I chose to. But I know that if I understand I don't have to, I won't. I'm not like the unbeliever who, Basti, how did you say? Who cannot but? Who is compelled to? Thank you, Pastor Victor. So that your sin-loving body is no longer under sin's control. No longer needs to be a slave to sin. Look at verse 7. For when you are deadened to sin, you are freed from all its allure and its power over you. Now look at this. You are free from the consequence of sin. You are also free from the power of sin. The consequence of sin is the punishment. That's the judgment now. But the power of sin is the control. I'm free from the urges. I'm free from the drives. So you see, when you feel something well up in your heart, you just remember, I don't have to. You bounce away. I don't have to. Come on, amen. And this is what the gospel teaches. So a lot of people who don't understand the gospel are hearing us say that it's okay to do what you want to do because God has forgiven you. They don't see that God has forgiven you is the reason why sin's control has lost its power.
For sin shall not have dominion over you, because you are not under the law, but under grace. So he's saying that the dominion of sin is even stronger when you are under the law. The dominion of sin is actually stronger when you are under rules and regulations. Because rules and regulations will amplify sin. Go and read, listen to my 2015 message on grace versus law. Pastor Osas, that's one of his favorite messages, grace versus law. And I was sharing one of the purpose of the law, that the purpose of the law is actually not to stop you from sinning. The purpose of the law is to amplify sin. So anybody who puts himself under the law, you know, you like places where you are told religiously what to do and how to behave. You feel those places actually control your behavior. Let me tell you what that does. It actually drives sin into hiding. It makes a hypocrite out of you. Because the law deals with behavioral modification, but grace deals with inner transformation. It's not the same thing. Because the law cannot crucify the man who produces sin. But grace is the work of Christ that crucified that man. The old man. So we are dead to sin. That's the work of grace. Come on, amen. So we don't have to, because we are under grace, not under the law. Come on, amen. So it says you are deadened to sin. You are free from all its allure and its powers. So that's why in 2024, your behavior has to be better. One of the signs that we know you are growing is that your attitude is changing. Do you understand? You can't be a complaining person. You don't have to complain. You don't have to be angry. You don't have to be rude. You don't have to be abrasive. You don't have to be intrusive. Maybe I should leave that intrusive part, because that's the whole message. You don't have to be obnoxious. You're a believer. Something about you has to be better. The Bible says, for to God we are the for to God, the fragrance of Christ, both to those who are saved and to those who are perishing. It means that, you see, when it comes to your standing with your brother, there must be a Christ-likeness that oozes out of you. There must be something, it's a fragrance that comes out of you. Have you been around people and you just feel the peace around them? That's what I want you to delve into this year. You see, there is that peace, there is that warmth about you, there is that love about you. You know, the Bible speaks of, in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 3, let me show you that, about the virtuous woman. The virtuous woman is not decided by the ornaments on her body. You see, that's not what makes you expensive. What makes you expensive is the reflection of the blood of Christ. Because the blood of Christ is your true value. Boregebaya. Bushkabaya. Do not let your adornment be merely outward. Arranging the hair. Is arranging the hair bad? No. Please arrange the hair. Arrange it well, please. I beg of you. Wearing gold. Is wearing gold bad? You guys are too carnal. You guys like carnal things. Carnal. Carnality. Or putting on fine apparel. Is it bad? No. So tell your neighbor, you look good. You look good. Okay? He says, but rather, let it what? Be the hidden man, the hidden person of the heart. That's what makes you you. Because I don't relate with your gold. I relate with you. I don't talk to your dress. I talk to you. There's something that just flashed through my mind. I don't want to say it because somebody will lift that part. I should say it. Somebody will lift that part, and that's all the person heard. On the occasion that you will not misunderstand me. Nah lie. With the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and a what? A quiet sea. That's what makes the woman. Come on, amen. That's what makes the man. That's what makes you you. There was a guy I met. He said, Pastor Phil, I married this woman because she gives me peace. I told him, I said, welcome on board. He said, I married this woman because she gives me peace. Wealthy guy. I met him, he came to see me. He said, which is a very precious gift in the sight of God. So, you know, you can take this scripture and form an extreme from it. You see? So you can condemn the arranging of the hair, the arranging of wearing the apparel, the hair, the adornments and the gold and all of that, and you say, don't do it. All we need to focus on is who you are, your spirit. You know, that's an extreme. That's an extreme. That's not what the Bible here is saying. But it's talking about focus. What is priority to you? What is most important to you? You see, that gold is not going to heaven with you. Because there's plenty waiting for you there. The things that we use on is common. Common thing. We will march on it. Praise God. So look at your neighbor. Say, this year, my character must be better. You see all these things Pastor Phil is teaching you now. You marry, you have peace. God, give me a husband. God, give me a wife. Give me a wife. Lord, I want a, you know, the kind of woman I want is, first of all, who are you? Because you attract who you marry. You attract who you marry. So, before you try to fix somebody else, physician, heal yourself. Heal yourself. But I know you have a good marriage. For those of you who have not married, I know you will do well. Because all the things you hear in this church, it must produce something. It must. There's a day maybe something happens in your home. You just remember my voice saying, you don't have to. We just remember the pastor's voice saying, you don't have to. I'm not under the control of sin. Praise God. I saw on social media today, a lady was saying she's tired of her marriage. So some people started analyzing her, saying, this is what they call emotional burnout. Somebody else said, this is what they call, no, she needs a therapy. One said she needs to see a doctor. And then one guy from nowhere just said, nah, spiritual husband, they do this one. Spiritual husband. You have opened your mouth to say your husband is not the problem. That he's actually a good man. But the problem is me. And I have a problem. What else is the explanation? It's spiritual husband. Somebody else is coming to see you in the night. Oh my God. Kai. You know, sometimes I just look at social media to laugh. But you know the problem I have with some of you? You look at social media and you don't know how to control yourself. You now start to think. You don't know that you are being fed when you scroll. You are being fed. So you must have a defense before you go in there. Praise God. So let's go back on track. Say, my behavior this year must be better. My character must be better. I want people to look at you and say, what church do you attend? TSP. Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, that's okay. Oh, now I understand. Find people. Then get money, but then get God. Yes. Then no, correct people. No, correct people. No. They're not a do anyhow. That is the impression I want. Then get money. Then find. Then get Holy Ghost. That's my life. Come on, amen. Praise God, somebody. You know, it's the gospel that brings out all these things. So, if you don't have the gospel, you will forget yourself. Babanla forgetting. Then number three, we said what? Love for the things of God. In fact, this is at the heart of spiritual growth because a growing Christian will require fewer prods. Remember we said this. Require fewer prods to serve in God's house. You are so in love with the things of God. Okay? Not that you don't love other things, but in the areas of what comes first, priority, it is God that comes first in your life. You see? And we gave a text from 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10 to 11. Did we read Acts chapter 9, verse 36? We said that, right? Acts chapter 9, verse 36. Let's see Acts 9, 36. Acts 9, verse 36. At Joppa, there was a certain disciple named Tabitha, which is, okay, so you know the story, right? Then Psalms chapter 1 and verse 1. Let's read this one together. I want to show you who a blessed man is. Say with me, say, I'm a blessed.
I'm a blessed.
So if it's you, man, woman, you say, I'm a blessed man or woman. I'm a blessed man. All right, so look at it. It says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits. Let's stay on this verse. Blessed is the man who what? Walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Now, just before you say, I escape this foolishness, listen. Because if I analyze your matter now, you realize that the last advice you took had no gospel connection to it. So just before you say, you see, and do you know that education is not always wisdom? Because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's not how much of exposure you have. It's not how much of school you went to. It's the fear of the Lord. It's the beginning of wisdom. When you have people who speak into your life who don't have the fear of God, but just because they have money, you take their counsel as if to say their counsel is God. And all that they have is money. That's what you are walking 24/7. So you see, when you have lost your priority in the first place, as a believer who goes to work 9 to 5 every day, and you feel your entire life is about that paycheck, when a wealthy man gives you counsel, you will take it more than when your brother in Christ, just because he doesn't have a car. You see what I'm saying now? These are the issues. Man of God, these are the problems we're having. Godly counsel is missing. Godly, I'm not talking about just any counsel. And I told you something on Wednesday, that the way the world is going, it's not going to be battle against evil only. It becomes battle against good. Without Christ. So you have to be careful. This counsel, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners. You know what this means? It means you are always found where people who are not of your kind should be. Say, go deeper, Pastor. Now, your excuse is, Pastor Phil, you see, God has called me to the world and I want to win them for Christ. Now, lie. I hear you. God forgive you. Who said that to you? You know what she said? She said, Winner's Chapel. I know Dale. That's my daddy. Ah. You know what Bishop Edipo, when he saw me, he calls me the Apostle Bello. I'm telling you. And as he said it, it's as if I should just walk on air. As he said it. Yes. That's what he calls me. The Apostle Bello. Praise God. He says, no, stand in the path of sinners. So you see now, he graduates. It's graduating. It's now small. There's that proverb that said, feel at home, not mean take television. Have you heard that proverb before? Feel at home, not mean take television. Or from a handshake now, you know they touch my shoulder. small. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel. It begins with the counsel. And let's say the counsel works. You now start putting your anchor on from an ungodly, and you miss Bible. My dear, hold your Bible, oh. Hold your Bible. Because if you are the feelings type, that's the type that works with feelings. Or if you are the type that loves reasoning, you love intelligence. So I want to stop saying logic, because logic is the name of my friend's church. But you'd like reasoning too much. That is, it has to sound intelligent. are, they go sweep you. Well, JJC in the body of Christ. You know, there are believers who just like intelligent things. You see, but let me tell you, let me first of all shatter. The message of the gospel is foolishness. It's foolish. It doesn't make sense to the world. It does not. Speaking in tongues doesn't make sense. There's nothing about the gospel that makes sense. So if you stand in that place of counsel that it has to sound intelligent or it has to appeal to my emotions, you don't lost though. So hold your Bible, my dear. Hold your Bible. Hold your Bible. Then it now goes on from counsel, it now goes on to where you are. Then it now graduates to where you sit. Now you are the landlord. You have become chairman. He says, he sit at the seat of what? The scornful. Who is the scornful? Use Google. Define scornful for me. Define scornful for me. Precious level, sea level. Precious just holy phone. He says, scornful. Precious. Big boy. That's a TSP member there. When you walk into your house and you just what is it they call that girl again? Eh? Thank you, Alexa. Bring my food. No. Lights on. Ta-da! I have Alexa in the house, but I don't use it. I have it too. She's just useless. I'm not making her effective. What's the meaning of scornful? What's the meaning of the word scornful?
Feeling or expressing content or derision.
Okay. Give me a simpler one, please. Obi, what was it?
Insulting, disrespectful, exhibiting lack of respect, rude and discourteous.
Negative people. Negativity. Now, let me tell you, we are in a scornful generation. Yeah. What did you say?
Expressing deep hatred or disapproval.
Now, see, we are in a scornful, shaming generation. We're in a generation that loves to shame people. So, you know what you should do? Before you side it, first of all, hate the art of shaming. I don't like shaming. You can't be someone who's... Let me say this to correct some of you. You love justice, but your love for justice shouldn't make you high on judgment. I love justice, but doesn't mean I am high on judgment. You know, justice and judgment is not the same. Sometimes justice is judgment. But do you know that the way justice is interpreted by God is different from the way our world interprets justice? So before you become a justice and freedom fighter, you must understand where you stand. Okay? I'm not an advocate for letting things slide. No. I love to put things in their place. I love to correct things. That is me. But not to the place where you are high on judgment and you miss the cross. Because the same person who you are raining fire on has been forgiven. It is the same person who you are supposed to be an ambassador to. From Christ. So, you must understand where the law takes its course, but don't condemn the person. Now, there's a difference between condemning someone and someone going to prison. So, some people should go to prison, but they shouldn't be condemned. Go and still visit them. But you still have to go, sir, I understand. We love you with the love of God. You go to prison. But you have to follow we'll bring food for you. You have to follow. Do you understand what I'm saying? So but it is the heart. It's a hateful spirit. That's what I'm attacking. I'm not attacking things taking its course, especially when government is involved. I'm attacking a hateful spirit. It's a spirit that hates human beings. It's a shaming generation. It's a scornful behavior. If anything happens to anybody now on social media, the way they will drag you. And please don't join them. Don't join them. Some of you are addicted to your Instagram. That's why you are misbehaving. Some people go to some places. When they come back, I know I have to start from the gospel again. It's true. Some of you travel, and when you come back, the moment you come back, you are not the same person. I have to start teaching you the precepts, the foundation of who you are. I said, remember who you are in Christ. Be like I said, that travel where you travel. it don't come out. You understand? Because there are some places you go that you know, social media is where people are living. It's in the forefront. An example of such places in Nigeria is Lagos. When you go to Lagos, you come back. If care is not taken. Sorry, Lagos. I love you guys. You know, we still have TSB in Lagos. So don't. I have nothing against Lagos. I lived in Lagos. See me there, explain myself. I lived in Lagos. I went to school in Lagos. I love Lagos. But I'm talking about a culture, okay? I'm talking about a culture. So you have to be careful. You have to be careful. Or you surround yourself with people who are overtly expressive and hateful. And the only place they can express their frustration is online, looking for the nearest scapegoat. Behave yourself in Christ. Somebody say amen. Oh, you know, I don't teach you popular things. I teach you the word. Teach you the word. Then number four, we said what? Embrace evangelism. So I gave the pastors a mandate that all the pastors must win a soul. I won my own soul. I messaged them. I won my own soul. Do you know who my soul was? My gate man. Oh. So I called him to my house. I said, come, sit down. Let me talk to you. And then I started sharing the gospel with him. You know, I honestly thought this guy was born again. Because he's such a nice guy. Nice guy know me say I'm born again. So the Holy Spirit just led me to ask him, are you born again? He looked at me. He said, no, I'm not. I didn't believe it. Pastor Ike, you were in my house that day where you told the guy to come back. I wanted to see this guy. I didn't even know why I wanted to see him. I didn't know it was the Holy Spirit leading me. So the third time he came back, because I was busy when he came twice. The third time he came, and I went outside, I sat him down. I started talking. And that's how I led this guy to Christ. So you see now that many times the opportunities... As you are clapping for me, I want to be clapping for you. So many times the opportunities to winning a soul is just around you. It's just around you. Never assume that everybody around you has heard the gospel. Not everybody has heard the gospel. Sometimes you need to say it. Even don't assume that because they are going to church, they've heard the gospel. They've not heard the gospel. Praise God. So don't take the counsel of the ungodly. Don't stand in the path of sinners. Don't sit in the seat of the scornful. Then number four, we said evangelism. Then number five, we said become a role model. Be an example, right? Say, I'm an example. 1 Corinthians 11 verse 1. Then number six, we said hatred for sin. You will hate what is wrong. You will love what is good. Number seven, we said what? Perseverance in adversity. Now, do you know what adversity is? Adversity is when things don't go as planned. That's a simple way to define adversity. Adversity means when things don't go as planned. That's an adversity. Everybody has some measure of adversity. Nobody is immune from adversity. But it is up to you to stand in the midst of adversity. Somebody say amen. James chapter 1 and verse 2. Let's read that scripture. Add that to what you wrote. James chapter 1 and verse 2. James chapter 1 and verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into what? Various trials. All right? I don't know if this is your story, but look at verse 3. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
So your faith is tested. Your faith is tried, but count it all joy. Another scripture to read is, when you go back home, you memorize, you study these verses. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 3. This is our theme scripture. In fact, one of the reasons why Paul said that their faith was growing is because they noticed a resilience in adversity. In the theme scripture that we read initially. So let's read from verse 3. We'll read all the way to 5. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting, because your faith grows exceedingly, and the love of every one of you all abounds towards each other. Next verse. So that we ourselves boast of you among the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure. You see that now? Let's see verse 5 if there is anything in it. Which is manifest evidence of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which you also suffer. You see? So one of the ways we know that you are mature is when things don't go your way, you are still standing. That's a mature believer. If things don't go my way, you see, you know, I described to you who a controlling person is on Sunday. I said to you that people who don't trust are very controlling. And people who are very controlling are fearful people. But all of that can be traced to an incident of assault. So you can't use one extreme to correct the other extreme. It must always be in the balance. You see? So if you notice that you are always trying to control things, it might, not all the time, it might be a point that you're controlling. So when things don't go your way, don't always try to be in control. You must be able to just let things be. You see, there's a part of you that understands what it means to stand still and see the salvation of God. There's a part where you are instructed to act. There's a part where you're instructed to be quiet. It must not always be under your control. I don't break my head about the things I can't control. I deal with what I can control, but I don't force on things that I cannot control. What I cannot control, I leave it to God. You must have that ability to leave things to God. Come on, amen. And that's what makes you mature. When you start dancing all over the place just because you want to change things, making frantic behaviors, it's a sign that you're not mature. So you have to be someone who trusts God all the time. Another scripture we read is Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. It says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Do you see the word endurance there? Please help me tell your neighbor, run with endurance. Tell another neighbor, say, run with endurance. So he says, let us run with endurance the race. There's a race set before you. Don't be confused though. The next verse, let's look at it. Looking unto Jesus, who is our example now, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. There must be something you are enduring. Now, I don't know what you're enduring, but endurance is not a bad thing. Okay? There's a time where the Holy Spirit will tell you, I don't need endurance now. I need you to have wisdom. Are you thinking with me? Then there is another time where it is not wisdom. It's just a matter of forbearance. So you might discern in your spirit, this is a forbearance issue. It's not a wisdom problem. But there are other times it's a wisdom problem. Not because some of you are enduring what you shouldn't endure because of a lack of wisdom. So having gone through the word of God and you still have peace in your heart, that it's not as if you're doing anything wrong, or it's not as if you're not being led right. This is just a matter of opposition. Then you must embrace endurance. You must embrace forbearance. So it says, Jesus, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Then look at verse 3. Keep going. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, right? Lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. This is what he's saying. Next verse. You have not yet resisted to bloodshed. Your own is not even like Jesus. You're already here shouting. You're already saying, hey, it's too much, it's too much. Let me tell you, with the help of the Holy Spirit, there's nothing you can't go through. I tell you the truth. See, this is one of the true tests of a mature believer. That when oppositions come, it is when we are hearing your testimony, that's when we know it really came. Because we can't tell that it came. We don't. Some of you, in fact, you don't even look like what you're going through until you tell people. Nobody knows when things are not well with me. Nobody knows when things are not well with me. I'm your pastor. You cannot know except you are too close to me or except I tell you. And it doesn't mean that all the time, all the times, everything is just well. Sometimes things are not really well. I'm worried about some things. Except it's only my wife who can know. Even me, I know. I have learned what it means to hide in the cleft of the rock. I have known what it means to trust God. You see, I will not deny that I'm worried about something. I would express it to God. I would talk to God. You know, I spoke to you about the informality in prayer. Where you just go before your Father and say, God, this is what I'm really feeling. It's okay. It's valid. We have a high priest who is not... who is touched by the feelings of our infirmity. God is not insensitive to you. So you can go to him in prayer and say, this is how I'm truly feeling. Help me. I don't want to feel like this. Do you get me? And you will see that you will come out of certain things. Praise God. So it says your own is not even like Christ. You are just here shouting. Next verse, striving against sin. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord. Not be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. Don't be broken. Don't be discouraged by rebuke. Don't be discouraged by, I was telling Audacity, I said, one of the ways I know you are truly my son or my daughter in this church is when I rebuke you and your attitude. It's the rebuke I know if you are really a son or. It's in rebuke. If I rebuke you and your face change, you are not a son. Your face change, your attitude change, and your decision change. I don't even mind if your face change because I'm not even looking at your face. I will tell you what I will tell you. If you like, carry the face. But after you calm down, you'll be all right. But as long as your decision is in line with correction, then you are my son. I told them, I said, listen, the way we know true sonship is in chastening of the Lord, when you are instructed. If somebody cannot instruct you again, you are in a bad place. A pastor was telling me last week, he said he kept telling his 13-year-old son something, and the boy just kept refusing. He now told the boy, you know what? Do what you want to do. I will never correct you on this. The boy broke down and started crying. The father didn't even know why he was crying, just left him. Then the boy wrote a letter to the father. And in the letter, he told the father, no matter what I do, never leave me to my foolishness. The father started crying. Let me tell you why the father was crying. The father was crying because he could not comprehend how a 13-year-old boy knows the importance of rebuke. He's a small boy like you. You know that to grow in life, you need correction. The Bible says Jesus learned obedience by the things he suffered. And this is a generation that does not like correction. They correct you. They tell you, you are no longer my father in the Lord. Or you say, you hate me. Pastor Phil doesn't like me. That's why he's speaking to me like this. You lack understanding. The day my father stops correcting me, I'm in trouble. Because I'm not perfect. I'm attaining perfection. I'm already perfect in position, but in my experience, I'm growing every day. So the day my father, Bishop Bilo, stops correcting me, while a day for me, at that point, I've assumed a position of I am full of myself. You see what I'm saying? It's a dangerous place to be. So you must have someone who speaks over your life. And let me tell you something, I'll wrap up with this. I don't correct everybody. Yes, I don't correct everybody. There are some people, I gauge where you are. If I know where you are, it determines whether I correct you or not. Sometimes I just laugh with you when I really want to correct you, because I know correcting you at that time will break you. Because I know you are still a child at that time. But those who are very close to me, the way I correct them, you would think I hate them. Ask the pastors. Do you see what I'm saying? So it says, he who the Father loves, grow to this place, oh, grow to this place, grow to this place. Submit yourself to what? Correction. And when you are going through tough times, one of the signs that your faith is growing is that you are still standing. Having done all to what? Stand. Stand therefore. Lift your hands. Let's pray. We'll continue on Wednesday next week. Bless the Lord for all the things that you've heard today. Give him glory. Give him praise. Give him glory. Give him praise. Give him glory. Mokarabakabayata. Your faith will be strengthened. Your faith will grow. Your faith will receive vitality. Hallelujah. So open your mouth and pray and say, Lord, I stand strong and firm in the knowledge of Christ this year. I manifest all the things that I am called to express as a believer. I show the signs of growth this year. My character is better this year. My life is better this year. I do the things that please you more this year. I'm no longer a slave to sin this year. I'm no longer a slave to addictions, to the things that keep me bound. I stand fast in the liberty by which Christ has made me free. I'm standing stronger. I am getting better by the day. I put my faith in Christ. I put my anchor in Christ. I put my trust in Christ. All the days of my life, will I trust in him? All the days of my life, will I put my faith in him? All the days of my life, will I hold on strongly to what Christ has done? And therefore the evidence of who I am in Christ will manifest to my family, to my closest friends, to my wife, to my children, to my husband, to even people in my office space. Who I am in Christ will be evident, for to God we are the fragrance of Christ, both to those who are saved and to those who are perishing. Lord, thank you because the fruit of redemption is at work in me. The fruit of salvation, the fruit of the gospel is at work in me. Yes, yes, yes. I exude kindness. I exude the love of God. I exude the peace of God. I exude the joy of the Holy Spirit. I know what it means to have the joy of the Holy Ghost. I prove all things. I prove eternal life. I prove joy unspeakable. I prove peace that passes all understanding. I prove soundness of mind. I prove the good thoughts that flood my spirit. I prove what it is to be healed in Christ. I prove what it is to be strengthened in my body. I prove what it is to be strengthened in my mind, to be strengthened in my devotion, to be strengthened in my vocation. I prove all things that are good. I prove all things. 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 Sound man, help me. I prove all things. I prove all things. I prove all things. All things. I prove all things. All things. I'm getting better. The path of the just is like a shining light that shines brighter and brighter unto the perfect day. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Now lift your hands. Let me pray for you. Father, I thank you for your children. These are people who genuinely want to grow in you. These are people who have come before you. They want to hear the word. They want their lives to be a reflection of the word. I commit all of us to you, Father. I ask that the fruit of the gospel will be evident in our lives. We will truly live We would live truly, deal truly, speak truly. These are our experiences. And Lord, let people see us and glorify you. May we truly be the light of the world. In the name of Jesus Christ. And to you be all the praise and glory. If you love the Lord, clap those hands and rejoice. Rejoice. Come on, come on, come on. Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord.
This concludes this message. Thank you for listening. And for more information about the Standpoint Church, visit our social media platform on www.facebook.com/standpointabj, twitter.com/standpointabj, instagram.com/standpointabj, and on soundcloud.com/standpointabj.